So tonight is May, what is it, 13th? May 13th, the 4th of Sivan. And tomorrow night is Shavuot, the holiday of Revelation, so we're continuing to talk about Revelation. Last week I told a little story about Adon, about how he checked in with what Hashem wanted him to do, and it was different from what he wanted to do. Tonight I'm going to tell a story about Anya, who's 1.5. And she communicates very well, without many words, very, very few words, and the words that she does have are not really complete words. So she may say one word like, I, and that means I want to go outside, or it might mean, you know, something, that person is outside, or, you know, and you have to kind of figure out what she means, right? Mm-hmm. And when we figure it out, we don't always get it right the first time, but you kind of have to fish, try this, try that, try this, try that. Something's being communicated, right? And we have to, we're in a place of uncertainty about, we know something's being communicated, right? But we don't know exactly what until we discover it, right? So it seems that God speaks to us in the same kind of way. You know? Something's being communicated. Now we can just ignore it, but what happens if you ignore Anya? It gets louder, it gets louder, it gets louder. Pretty soon it's screaming and then eventually you have to pay attention. So it's the same thing when God is speaking to us. The rate at which it gets louder is different for each of us in different situations. Sometimes it gets louder very quickly if it's more urgent, but in other times we can be in a certain type of something in our lives, either a situation or a pattern of something, and it can go on for a very, very long time, and the message we're getting about it might not be so strong at first because it's basically serving, it's okay, right? But it'll get a little louder, and it'll get a little louder, and it'll get a little louder. And what is it that prevents us from hearing it? What is it that prevents us, first of all, from being open to the fact that something's being communicated, on one hand? And then number two, what is it that prevents us from figuring out what's being communicated? You know. So one of the things that prevents, something that prevents us from realizing that something's being communicated in the first place is actually the same as the thing that prevents us from figuring out what is being communicated, which is that we have certain assumptions. The mind is in certain patterns of assumption about how things are. And so the implication of something being communicated that's going to mess that up or shatter our system in some kind of way can be scary or just unrealistic sounding, you know, and can lead us to just kind of ignore it because we don't see other options. But the thing is, it's natural that we don't see other options. Because to get back to the Anya example, when Anya communicates something, she only communicates the immediate next step. She doesn't communicate a whole bunch of stuff, right? She doesn't communicate a whole paragraph or page full of what the program is, right? She just communicates the next thing, right? I want milk now, you know? I want to take a bath now. I need to change my diaper now. It's the same thing with how God communicates to us. In other words, what's being communicated to us is one thing. It's one step that we need to take. It's not a whole plan. We have to work out that plan later, or we have to just not work it out, but just trust that the next step is going to appear after we take the step that we're taking. But if we don't trust that because our assumptions are so strong that reality is a certain way, then how can we be open to something new happening? So implicit in the act of listening to what God is telling us is faith or trust. Faith or trust are inherent within it, because when you get what God is saying, it's probably not giving you the whole program. At least I've never experienced that. I mean, and that's the way the story of Moses is too, right? The sort of the classic example in our tradition of God telling somebody what to do in order to, well, there, you know, there's other characters that happens to, but particularly with Moshe, Moshe hears that he has to go and free the Israelites at the burning bush, right? He hears the message, and he says, how can I do it, though? Like, I can't, that doesn't make sense, because I'm not equipped for that. I don't have good speech, I'm a stutterer, whatever. So his way that he sees reality doesn't allow for the commandment that's coming through. And finally, God gets mad and says, look, who do you think created the mouth? Who created speech? Who created it? Just, you got to trust that this is going to work out. So it's the same thing. When we're getting a message, we have to trust that this message is coming from the fabric of reality itself. It's not some thing that is just emerging in our own consciousness in an isolated way. We are connected with everything. We're connected with the rest of the reality. So when I say even that God is talking to us, it sounds dualistic, like there's this God over there and I'm over here and God is telling us. That's just a metaphor. That's not really what I mean, right? Really what I mean is that God is reality. God is what is. And reality wants to unfold in a certain way, but it gets stuck in our navigational array called the brain, where the brain gets into certain patterns. And the brain has to participate, right? The brain has to calculate and navigate and figure things out. But what it tends to do then is it thinks it has to figure it all out, or it thinks it has to understand the whole thing, and it sees everything outside of itself as chaos, right? That's the assumption, is that it's just all random, it's just all chaos.